Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is an interior paint and primer in one with a tough-lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hopefully everybody had a great holiday weekend, and surprisingly, there's no lack of topic. I'm sort of saying surprisingly, kind of sarcastically, but there always seems to be things going on when we do one of these shows, so I'm really excited about getting everybody's just perspective on what's going on. And before we get into that, just remind you guys, we do live stream these shows. We've been pretty consistent every other Monday on YouTube, our YouTube channel, every other Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find all those links at theunionofthunwanted.com. They're typically also uploaded within 48 hours onto Rumble and then also on a bunch of other streaming websites. So you can find it on all the iTunes, Spotify, all those places. And just search for it and you can find it, or go to the Union of the Unwanted and find all those links. We're also on a bunch of social media platforms like Instagram and X and whatnot. And then every time we don't do a live show, we do a flashback episode. So look for those in between live episodes. They're great, just old episodes that maybe you might have forgot about, or if you're new to the show, you didn't know about, and you can go back and listen to them. I just uploaded one because he's been in the news a lot lately and he's been killing it. Scott Horton. I actually uploaded the Scott Horton episode when he was on the Union of the Unwanted recently. So, and it's funny because we have one of Scott's friends on the show, Clint, joining us. But so that's it. That's the business. Let's jump right into it. Obviously, there's Epstein, there's Iran, there's perspectives on if Trump is on the list. Are they lying to us now that there isn't a list, or were they lying to us then when they said that there was a list? All we know is somebody's lying, and we're used to liars lying. So let's try to dissect. Let's try to dissect this and figure out what we think is going on. Anybody want to jump in and kind of give their two cents? I know Scott said he could riff a little bit on Epstein. Yeah, give us your outlook.
Well, you know, so here's what I was thinking. So I was just picturing back. I was transporting myself back to 2019. You know, pre-COVID era. Like, that's almost unheard of. And it's like that era was so interesting. Epstein didn't kill himself like the day after my birthday, right? So I remember when exactly that was. It was like early August 2019. And around that same time, I remember there was like the yellow vest protests going on in France. And then it was spreading through all the world. Like, all these major cities were having all these protests, the Hong Kong protests. People were like, they fed up. People had enough of the bullshit worldwide, man. And there was even that whole thing with remember the storm Area 51? They can't stop all of us. Like, there was like, that was all happening at the same time. There was this massive upswell of people just like, this is bullshit. And then the Epstein thing happened. And that was just like ripping off, like opening the floodgates of people just being like, okay, we're done. We're done with this bullshit. Okay. So Then COVID happened, obviously, and people were just beaten down into submission. And to me, well, a lot of us got activated. A lot of us really, like, you know, they turned us into warriors, you know what I mean? But at the same time, for the most part, people are just beaten down. And to me, this revelation, what just happened right now, it feels very much like the same Epstein didn't kill himself situation again. But I don't think people are going to have the same vigor or whatever that they had before. People are just going to take it. They're just going to take it. But it's like, to me, it's just at the end of the day, you know, I don't care who's in office, the Biden, Trump, whoever. It's like the government is always your enemy. And I have this hypothesis too. On Grand Theft World a couple of weeks ago, Richard was out of town and I did this whole episode with the hypothesis of being that governments all over the world exist primarily to, as their main function at the end of the day, to cover up for child rape trafficking, as Craig Sawyer likes to say. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really what it is. And we showed the expose of, like, the Mark Dutroux case out of Belgium, a crazy case out of Lithuania, so many cases in the UK, all the different cases here in the United States. And it's like, at the end of the day, when a child trafficking ring gets exposed and it goes all the way to the top, the government marshals all of their resources to cover it up and make it disappear all over the world. And so, again, this is just an example of that once again. And so I hope, if nothing else, the takeaway is that just never, ever stop hating the government. That's it. Because this is what they do. This is what they do. And I was like, prior to the election, like, I was saying, I kind of hope Kamala gets in. Because for the sole purpose of all the freedom people, all the people that are aligned with freedom, they would be in their face the whole time just being like, fuck you. Nope, you're not doing that. You're not doing that. Fuck you. No, no, no. You know, but I knew if Trump was going to get in, all the freedom people were just going to start sucking the government's dick, dude. Not Trump's dick. They're just going to start sucking the government's dick again. It's exactly what happened. That's exactly where we're at right now. They all have capitulated and been like, oh, I just love the government so much. The government's here to save me. No, never. I don't care if it's
in what? Can you give an example of that? What is an example of loving?
Of all the Trump worship. It is primarily worship, but it's like those are people that are generally aligned with freedom in the context that we understand freedom. And it just feels like
that's an interesting thing, because people relate to Trump, the man. He's like the man people love to hate, and he's so polarizing and unifying, but that people don't realize, well, this is the government, right?
And what's the government?
Yeah.
I've been sucked in, dude. And so we just need to be reminded that fuck the government always and every day. And this hopefully will be a wake up call that people can stop with this bullshit of just worship. I don't care who it is, dude. Just stop. So that was my rant. There you go.
Well, I don't like the framing of Epstein client list, because that wasn't, they're trying to make it sound like he's selling children. And I don't know that that was ever really claimed. I think if you want to talk about maybe a running list of people who have, he's entrapped, that's one thing. But in terms of like client list, I mean, he was running Ponzi schemes and running arms and work doing Southern Air Transport and involved in intelligence. And this was like, in God knows what, at fucking Zorro Ranch in underground in the eugenics movement and funding Martin Nowak. And he was doing all kinds of things. They make it sound like this is the only thing that he was doing. I suppose I'm glad that people are talking about an Epstein type character, or that they know that, you know, the normies out there know that there are people like Jeffrey Epstein out there. But if you only get the sex entrapment operation part about Jeffrey Epstein, you're missing a lot more. And frankly, even more diabolical, if you can imagine that. So the stuff that he was into.
Isn't that the point, though, right? To distract and make it almost a caricature of what it is. And like, I know you've looked into the Epstein's ties to transhumanism and all.
Oh, yeah, with Martin Nowak. It's, or, you know, I mean, financing. Yeah, I start asking, like, okay, this guy's a horrible piece of shit who's tied to all the wrong people. Why is he financing Martin Nowak's population dynamics and evolutionary game theory at Harvard? What are they working on? And then you find out about Zorro Ranch and what's going on underneath underground and what he had plans for. And it's like, you guys want to like get weird and get into Jeffrey Epstein and go down a rabbit hole? Like,
so
once
it becomes
you
almost
get over
the
list,
well,
not being a thing,
come, the list come, becomes a cover. The
check
list.
Out transhumanism. He's in it. And that's really important for us to know. And I know that, you know, you can't go anywhere without these super powerful, wealthy guys being involved in transhumanism. And transhumanism, again, just as a reminder of the terminology, it is a word that was coined in the late 60s by Sir Julian Huxley, the head of the British Eugenics Society, to rebrand eugenics into something else. Not change it, just rebrand it. And the term they chose was transhumanism. It is eugenics. And you will find these people all over it, including Epstein. And so the sexual blackmail stuff is really like headline grabbing and super gross and very interesting. But just like, it's just 1/10 of the stuff that he's doing. And it's like, if you follow those threads, you might not get the list, but you'll get a list of associates. And then you can just start drawing your own connections from that. I mean, we have flight logs. It's not like we don't have, you know, I don't know what people were waiting for. Like a fucking Rolodex, like a spreadsheet or something. I don't know. I don't know what they thought was coming, but I never was expecting any sort of list, especially from the government of the United States, is going to give out a list of all the shit or show all the stuff and like ruin this 30-year honeypot they've been working on and all the good stuff they've got. No way.
Or it even goes to kind of what I was saying earlier, like the people like Bongino, Kash Patel, these people who've been rallying it against the FBI and the government, they just absorbed them into the apparatus and just completely neutered them. And it's just like, so now that's no longer a threat.
And I will give those guys the benefit of the doubt and say that they had an intention to do that. But I mean, my man, I could have told you you weren't gonna be able to do that. You think you're gonna go in and run the FBI and then they're just gonna open up and give you all these files? Like, what do you
Well then it's all smoke and mirrors. I wanna say, to the point of the transhumanist funding that Epstein helped make happen, that is a very important part of the Agenda 2030 and the future that we're going towards. And like right now in the spiritual world, like people who know Egyptologist Robert Grant, for instance, he just went to Egypt and he had one of his underlings do a presentation on sacred geometry, and they have an entire slide on graphene oxide and how to reverse engineer sacred geometry, and even using the bees and the hexagonal shape to just boost the profile of graphene oxide. But what does this have to do with Egyptology? It's yet another, this is a perfect example of how they sneak in the transhumanist agenda. And, you know, we could talk about the spiritual AI, and, you know, July 4th marks the under Trump administrative initiative of AI.gov is being expanded into a living AI infrastructure platform. But it is part of, by the way, a much bigger initiative that started under Biden. There was an executive order, EO 14179, directing AI rules across agencies and calling for a U.S. AI action plan. So this has been in motion for a while. And what you found, Scott, the fact that it was created in
2018. July, pretty much this time of year, 2018. Yeah, they knew what was up.
We're nanoforming our planet, by the way. We're nanoforming our planet, folks.
Nanoforming. Expand on that. That's a very interesting.
Instead of the word teta, what's the usual word?
Terraforming.
So what came to my mind is we're nanoforming because it's everywhere. And the beauty is we don't see it. And the people don't see that the walls are closing in as far as their track and trace. A future of that looks like what China is.
Clint, you want to jump in?
I wanted
Oh, go ahead.
To, I want, well, first of all, I wanted to say that you get just on a totally different topic, but since Steve just popped in, Third Eye Carnival this last weekend in Pueblo, Colorado. Fantastic live event. I encourage people in the future to go to these live events when they come in your proximity. You know, make a road trip out of it if you need to. But we had a blast Friday, Saturday. I didn't get to hang around on Sunday, Steve, but I know you guys had bands going the whole time. And we got a free fireworks show.
Every night, rain or shine.
Whether you wanted one or not. Yeah.
Yeah. And the bands on Sunday would have melted your freaking face off, Charlie.
Oh, I
sent you a
video
of these kids called Triplip, and it's a 2-piece bass and drums. And it sounds something like Mr. Bungley from, you know, late 80s, early 90s. It's insane. Those guys were absolutely incredible. But yeah. No,
great job setting that up, Steve. And I encourage people in the future when Third Eye Carnivals come to your area. I think there's going to be one in El Paso, Texas in October, if I'm...
October 17th through 19th, El Paso, Texas.
If you're in that vicinity or you want to make a trip of it, these live events are fantastic to get to meet, you know, connect with other people, network,
we are at
make a trip out of it.
I promise. So, probably seen a bunch.
Hopefully have another one here and outside of Nashville again.
Yeah.
We had one in April here in Nashville. That was a blast. We almost got sucked away in a tornado, but other than that,
that's true.
Yeah.
You would have had to have been a couple of miles away for that, in fairness.
Totally. No, it was epic, dude. Epic.
Did something really weird happen and like Billy Ray swapped out with Sam? Like, do we need Billy Ray to go get a LA Dodgers hat real quick just to complete the...
Sam was here and then he dropped out and now Billy Ray's here.
Okay. Well, congratulations on your transition, Sam.
What? Can you hear me?
Billy Ray Valentine.
Congratulations on him on his transition into a stud from New York,
a bad motherfucker from the Bronx. Billy Ray Valentine. That's what we're talking about. Twice in one day, we get to talk. I'm so glad you're here. You and I spoke about this earlier today, and I told Ricky that we wanted to talk about this Epstein thing because you, and I know you've got a limited clock here. So I want to push you up kind of to the front of the line, if you don't mind, to get some shit off your chest about whether or not we're going to let Trump slide on this whole Epstein thing. And I know you had some thoughts on it. So why don't you just feel free to blast off and do what
you first
need.
Of all, thank you, Charlie, man. I appreciate you. What's up, Scotty? How you doing? Good to see you. Mr. Poikinen, how are you? Always a pleasure. What's up, Ricky? And the other two, I am sorry. Mariam, how are you? And Clint.
Howdy to you.
How you doing? No, man, obviously it hit the fan, right? Well, I think Poikinen would know better than anybody aside from you, Charlie, how I felt about this for a long, long time, right? And here in the alt media, I feel that we're not doing our audiences any favors by continuing to prop up this buffoon that's currently sitting in the White House, you know, and they. You know, it goes back to at least just for this current regime that Diddy's got going on for his second term. It goes back to, will you release the Epstein files? And he's like, well, yeah, but maybe not, because there's a lot of stuff in there that's going to mess with people. You know, there's a lot of stuff in there, a lot of bad information that's going to mess with people. And people let that slide. They were like, yeah, let's let that go. No problem. Right. Then they get in power, and Kash Patel, who is a bona fide nutcase. I never thought the guy would be in office, but here he is. He's the head of the FBI. And he's like, well, we're going to release these things on day one. Day one came and went, no release, right? Pam Bondi, they're sitting on my desk, right? When they asked her, they're sitting on my desk. I just got to review them. That came and went. Then they start some other freaking narrative that really pissed me off. Oh, it's the deep state. I thought they had fleshed out the deep state, but no, it's the deep state, the Southern District of New York, and there was a war going on that was preventing them from releasing the files. Then it's Kash Patel. Kash Patel is like, Pam Bondi has them, and then Pam Bondi's like, Kash Patel has them. So we did that whole thing too. You know, and still, people were like hopeful for some reason, the most transparent administration, right? It's supposed to be the most transparent administration of all time. This is their words, not mine, right? And people are still hopeful. Oh, we're going to get something. We're going to get something. We're going to get something. How do you expect to get something from these people? But most importantly, they highlight after they're in office, Mr. Bongino and Kash Patel looking like a deer in headlights. He looks like that all the time, by the way. But Bongino told everyone. He told everyone in the alt media. He told everyone in conspiracy world. He told everyone in the right, the far right, whatever you want to. He told everyone what was going to go down, and they refused.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Refused to see it. Well, at least some people were seeing it at that point, but most people were still like, whatever. He told you, there is no there. We're not going to get anything. What you think is on the tapes, there's nothing on those tapes. The files? No, there's nothing. There's nothing. We're going to release what we can release. And that was Kash Patel who said it on Joe Rogan. We're going to release what we can release. You know, and everybody's all right. Listen, we have to come to a point here where we have to stop the nonsense. We have to knock this crap out, right? This administration is not the most transparent administration. It might actually be the administration that lies the most blatantly without a mask on. It's just like, we're just going to lie to you. We're going to tell you that these documents are on our desk and I am going to release them, Pam Bondi. And then they disappear. Now they don't exist, right? Not only did this guy actually kill himself, right? Because that's what they said. And we know that he killed himself is what Kash Patel said and Dan Bongino said. We know that he killed himself. Dan Bongino made a career out of spreading conspiracy theories and saying, hey, yo, it's how could you even believe that Epstein killed himself? Dan Bongino's on record saying that Kash Patel is very similar. You know, and what he used to push. And now they're sitting here and saying, well, he killed himself. We know he killed himself because we're familiar with all of this. We've seen it before. So we know, please take our word for it. Take our word for it. And we're supposed to do that. That's what we're supposed to do. So we've come to a place in the alternative media where it's like, choose your own reality. You know, well, maybe they're telling the truth. Right. Maybe they're telling the truth or maybe they're covering up for somebody. So if they're covering up for somebody, who are they covering up for? If they're covering up for somebody, who are they covering up for? They're either covering up for Donald Trump or, according to Steve Bannon, according to who's the other buffoon? Alex Jones. According to Alex Jones and Steve Bannon, they were being held hostage by the deep state on camera, and they, that's why they lied about all of this, because the deep state has them held hostage, where they're supposed to be, you know, with the alpha males with the balls dragging on the floor, right? They're supposed to be those dudes. So they could have just said, hey, listen, it's the deep state that is making us say this, right? They could have just outed everything and done that, but they didn't do that. So they're either protecting Donald Trump or they're telling the truth. Either way, we were lied to.
Well, that's the part we know we were definitely lied to. The narrative has changed publicly, and obviously we can kind of, you know, highlight all the times that one person initially said this and then they now are saying something else. That's, to me, that's not the most interesting part. I think the part that I would like to kind of discuss and discover is the why, right? Because I think that's the fascinating part. It's like, we know that they've lied. Now, did they ever have intentions of releasing anything? I don't know. But if they did, you know, the narrative changing could be for multiple reasons. I mean, it was so obvious that the narrative changed, because if you're Kash Patel and you're going on Rogan, and Rogan, in a very casual, friendly little debate, pushed back, and you don't have any answers, it seems like he wasn't quite ready for, you know, to, like, it's either like he had to change his narrative, he was forced to change his narrative, and he struggles to because he's lying now, and maybe he wasn't lying before, or vice versa, who knows. But to me, like, there's something that we're unaware of that's going on behind the scenes, and I think that's clear, because why would you openly, I mean, everybody knows that there's tons of videos circulating on Twitter, on YouTube, of clips of people saying one thing and then saying another thing. Like, why would you openly do that if there wasn't something else going on? Either the FBI and CIA, they could have easily been, you know, the second that maybe they thought there was any chance of, you know, releasing anything, John Kiriakou said it on Piers Morgan, I believe, today, they could immediately start just throwing everything away, shredding files, deleting files, making sure that there wasn't any evidence of anything. That could be a possibility. Another thing is they could be threatened. I mean, obviously, political assassinations happen. These are sick people who, there's obviously a long history of whistleblowers being killed in mysterious deaths, this and that. Like, maybe their lives were threatened. Who knows? I mean, I just think that, you know, we're highlighting, yeah, they did lie, but I want to kind of dissect a little bit of, like, why do you think they're lying? Is there, you know, maybe we'll get Clinton this. Clinton, what do you think? Do you have a theory?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious to me that it was because they were building blackmail files. Is my camera working?
Yep, yeah, we see you and we hear, okay, you. Yep.
Yeah, I think it was pretty obvious that they're building blackmail files on some of the, you know, most rich and powerful people, both in Fortune 500 companies, big tech, politics, royal families. That's what the primary driving force of this was. And I think that's the reason that it continues to persist throughout different administrations, is that those same files have value to whoever possesses them. So why would you ever prosecute anybody when you could just say, hey, guy who runs Fortune 500 company, I'm going to need you to do XYZ, or guy who votes on XYZ policy, I need you to vote against that. I need you to vote for it. I need you to, change where you're building your products. If you're Trump and you're, nationalist and you want to bring home industry, you go, well, hey, now I've got blackmail on all these corporations. Suddenly they're building their factories here instead of China or whatever. There's lots of reasons that it's able to be used, but I just wanted to, I haven't been able to give my macro take yet, so I'll just give a brief overview. If I'm going to find any silver lining in this, and it's tough to find, I'll admit, but I do think that there's a lot of value, particularly for people in our arena, for those that aren't in our arena, to have all of this evidence, all of this footage of Pam Bondi, Kash Patel, Dan Bongino, all going on the record. Alina Haba, too, just a couple months ago, all on the record saying disclosures are coming, prosecutions are coming, lists are coming, proof is coming, evidence is coming, justice is coming, nothing is coming. And it's like, that has radicalized, you know, a lot of people say, I wanted Kamala Harris to win because then the right is much better when there's a Democrat in power. Well, I will say this, if you're an accelerationist, boom, you just accelerated a whole hell of a lot of, you know, MAGA QAnon folks back into the land of fuck the government, fuck everybody in government. So I guess that's the silver lining if I were to find one. But I will say, when I got this news last night, I was as close to despair as I've been when it comes to politics in a long time. I mean, the abuse of children en masse, to have so many people involved in this, some of which I know, some of which I've shared the stage with, to obviously lie through their fucking teeth and cover up for some of the worst people that have ever walked the earth.
Fake and gay.
What's
it's
that?
All fake, because it's all fake and gay. And
yeah, I know.
I would say if you're going through despair, that's a good phase to sit with yourself, because it is all fake and gay. And I think the Epstein, I mean, I've injected myself into arguably the biggest psychological operation of our century, George Floyd. And I can tell you what's being presented on the outside is nothing of what's happening. There's a whole movement to free Derek. Meanwhile, we don't even know if Derek is alive, but I can tell you Derek was definitely incapacitated. So that shows the disparity. And I think it's important for everybody to realize that we're being distracted. What's important? Our family, our loved ones, our health, and doing what we can on the local level. I think this is distraction to cover up to bigger things, like Charlie was saying, his Epstein's involvement in this very real transhumanist agenda. Like, this is a brave new world, folks. I'm sorry to sound the alarm, but it is happening. And I've just been looking at, well, one, you know, well, we'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything is the American public believes is false, right? So we're pretty much there. And if you look at all these initiatives with the AI.gov, I think that merits discussion, you know, because Epstein is just, it's another episode.
Well, if I may, right, and with all due respect, this is your show, Ricky, and I get why you would want to talk about the why, but in all actuality, we're just doing mental gymnastics talking about the why, because we'll never really know why. We can come up with all types of rationale that'll fit our already preconceived notions of what's going on. We're like, well, maybe it was this. Well, maybe it was that. So I don't really care about the why. I'm happy to talk to you about it, because this is what you want to do, and that's fine for however long I've been here. I'm going to be here. But the why is really inconsequential. It's the what the hell did you do? And how do we take it forward? How do we march on it? How do we move forward? And how do we hold them accountable? I don't care why you did it. I know that you did it. You've been lying to the American public. You've been lying to your core supporters knowingly. We can prove that. We can't prove that there's an internet, even though this may be true, we can't prove that there's an international cabal of all this other stuff. We can't do the mental gymnastics anymore about the why. What we can prove is that these people have been lying to us since January, since before that, an illegitimate regime that is doing literal 1984 doublespeak, literal secret police kidnapping people, literally. Okay, and now they're talking about deporting American freaking citizens. And that's everybody here, regardless of race and color. They're talking about deporting them. So bottom line is this. They lied to us about being the most transparent freaking administration. They said they were going to release JFK. They did that, and it was inconsequential. 9/11 and the Jeffrey Epstein files. And now they're slapping you in the face and telling you, hey, these files don't exist. After they've said they do exist and they're on my desk. So here we go. Either they're telling the truth, right? Or they're protecting Donald Trump. You pick. So we were lied to for years about a fictional list. Maybe. I don't think that's the case. I think a list does exist. It has to exist, right? Because Ghislaine Maxwell is in jail. So it has to exist, because there were hundreds of abused women that came forward in that trial. So a list has to exist, in my opinion. But for argument's sake, there was no list and they're telling the truth, or they're covering up for somebody. That's the only plausible next step. Who are they covering up for? Maybe the guy that was his best friend.
Maybe I really like what, says, how do we?
Maybe the guy that said, hey, I want to hang with this guy. He's a lot of fun and they like young ladies. We like young ladies together. Maybe it's that guy. Maybe the guy that said, hey, Ghislaine Maxwell, I wish you well. Or maybe the dude that said, hey, I won't release the files because there's a lot of junk in there and it's going to hurt a lot of people. Maybe that's what we should be looking at. So instead of thinking about the why they're doing this, let's think about, yes, they freaking did it. And let's hold these people accountable for what they did.
How do you propose that? I would love
to
know.
You can't hold them.
I think, like God, I think if there is a creator and karma, people are being tested on all sorts of levels of integrity and whoring out their souls. And there's tons of operatives who don't even know that they're being used as useful idiots. I think you need to understand how you make the sausage.
Can I explain the despair point? Because the reason I was in despair is not so much for, you know, my own personal desires or anything like that, but rather like just to recognize that there is, you know, 70 plus million people, and I believe that number actually happened, came out and voted for Donald Trump, many of which voted like specifically for this issue. They were furious about this issue. So I guess the thing that really broke my heart was just to recognize essentially that even with, you know, a huge percentage of the population viciously angry about an issue, they're still powerless to get the people that they voted into power to do anything about it. Despite explicit promises on video for years, they will just get up there one day and they'll say, psych, we've got nothing for you. And it's like, it's so profound, the disrespect to the people of this country, to the people of the world, that I struggle to deal with it. It's like they don't fear us even slightly. And just to sit with that feeling was like rough. You know, like they just don't give a shit.
Do you feel like you are perhaps on the receiving end of a demoralization campaign?
I do, you know? but I would just like to say, I recognize the demoralization campaign or the dispiriting. Mission accomplished. Please stop. Right.
Yeah,
I don't need any more.
It's frustrating to.
Oh man.
I think it could be an awakening. I think for all of us, we've all gone through an awakening of the levels of fake and gayness.
It's just like the original Epstein didn't kill himself. It's like people are just like, okay, right. Okay.
I personally, I think we should all be thanking blonde-haired, blue-eyed, perfect baby Jesus that the tapes became resurrected and that the footage of the outside of Epstein's cell, despite us being told for years, was destroyed suddenly. Rose from the Dead to be played on Twitter yesterday.
Oh, can we see that? I haven't all
seen except for 10, a 10 second clip. It, yeah,
no. There's a 12 hour video you can get, but it's pointless.
Mm-hmm. No, but there's a piece missing apparently.
Yeah, they don't have them. Killing
1 minute, 1 minute out of 12 hours. You can see the timestamp jump. But
yeah, honestly,
I think that's probably just a red herring to try and drag you in the wrong direction. Maybe. I think that footage is total bullshit.
The whole idea of the government telling you the truth is
the whole
shit.
Thing feels radioactive. Yeah, I mean,
we can definitely agree on the tapes.
Yeah,
for sure.
My problem with this whole topic is that it becomes a Trump thing where everybody, it's like, this is way bigger than Trump. Okay, like Trump wasn't involved with the Franklin scandal. He wasn't involved with the Belgium beast. He wasn't involved with the Casa Pia scandal in Portugal. He wasn't involved with all these child trafficking organizations that have been linked, you know, to Podesta, you know, weirdness with his background and his pictures and, you know, yeah, thanks to Scott and Hillary, who equally and the Clinton
Bill,
Foundation.
Let's not forget Bill Clinton.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. So it becomes
famous friend.
It's amazing how quickly this becomes
Epstein and in that whole circle.
Bill Clinton's great uncle George H.W. Bush or Donald Trump's mentor Roy Cohn and his role throughout various administrations.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
Point being, yes, Ricky, that's why you talk about it in terms of government and not right team, left team.
But I think that's the problem. Yeah. I think that's the problem. We can continue to make excuses and say, well, you know, he wasn't involved in X, Y, and Z. But you know what? He first off, they're not in power anymore, right? The Democrats aren't in power anymore. Joe Biden isn't in power anymore. You know, who is in power here and who administrated this lie on the people? And this is what I want to talk about. We can talk about the history of pedophilia and child sex trafficking rings, of course. He's not involved in all of them, right? He wasn't alive for a lot of them, right? So what are we saying? What we can say is he said that they were going to release these files. Pam Bondi said that she had them on her desk. Kash Patel said that they were going to be released on day one. And where are we? So to divert attention from the Trump regime does us a disservice. And we need to shine the light on these freaking people that are in power right now and that are currently running psychological operations on us.
I got enough hate to go around. Don't worry about that. I got enough hate in my heart for Bill Clinton as well as Donald Trump.
I think the point is that it's, and I agree with Ricky on this, that it's like this, he ran this operation for at least 25 years, probably 30. Right. So I think that's the broader point is that this is systemic. It doesn't matter. There is like whatever the figurehead is. I mean, Joe Biden, was he ever in power? Is Donald Trump in power? Like, I don't even know.
No.
So I think that's the broader point is not to take shame or responsibility or culpability off of Donald Trump, Cash Patel, Pam Bondi, any of them, Bongino, like fuck all of them. But I'm just saying fuck everybody before them, too. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. I would like to, in regards to the Trump regime, AI.gov is more than a static website. It's the U.S. government's AI nerve center. It consolidates federal AI policy, showcases real usage, builds workforce and governance capabilities, and is evolving into an interactive AI-powered ecosystem to support agencies in securely deploying cutting-edge AI. So let us just take a moment. This is a new world order. And if anyone's dealing with Wells Fargo, any customer service, please acknowledge the weaponization of customer service. When I first came to this country as a Canadian, it was customers ruled. Now you're lucky if you get a human being, and it's all like designed to lose you and not. So what is it going to look like? So I just want to acknowledge this, which was launched on July 4th. Happy Freedom Day, peoples.
So right now it redirects to whitehouse.gov. So are they like just building it in the background? AI.gov just redirects to whitehouse.gov. So I don't know.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Sorry I got here late, guys, but I just listening to the Epstein stuff, again, I think this is not a partisan thing. That thing was never going to come out. If they ever produced a list, whatever that was, it wasn't going to have any of the big names on it. Because, you know, obviously P. Diddy just proved that. You again, how many times we need to prove this? People that are rich and famous are completely above the law. They're never going to go down. So this was, the only difference is what's going to happen to MAGA now, because I think MAGA was already reeling. And I think this is really going to splinter it, because there's no way back from this. As Billy Ray pointed out, Pam Bondi said, I have it on my desk. And everybody talked about it. They had Cernovich and all those clowns walking around outside holding up redacted documents. What were they holding up? And so the idea that there's no Epstein list. I don't think any of us expected that. No, it actually is not at all. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And there's no innocent way to bounce back from this. Bongino talked about this stuff on his show all the time. Now he's in a position of power. Yes. And he's seen the video. I don't know what he's talking about. He's seen the file or something. The file was lost, they claimed, when they raided the FBI raided the safe at his at Epstein's mansion. So we didn't get to see all those videos and DVDs and stuff that were in there that they were taken by his recording equipment. So this is very disillusioning. We kind of expect it, but even, and I didn't expect them just to say there is no list. I mean, no.
They're giving us all the time. They tell us all the time.
Expected them to say there's no list.
There is no list is the only thing they told the truth about. I mean, this is something that, like, we've been screaming for years. There's no freaking Epstein list.
It's just everybody.
People agree with each other on many, many other things. You know, like, for example, like me, Ryan Dawson, Whitney Webb, and a whole bunch of other people for years, you know, never going to sit down in a room together, especially Ryan and Whitney. But you know, we all agree on this. There's no such thing as the Epstein list. That was a red herring from day one. What there is data. And what that data is being used to do is influence and gain leverage blackmail and manipulate. But if you wanted an actual, you know, here's a list of the bad guys, it's never going to fucking happen.
It doesn't. That's not what they said, Steve. And that's my issue.
Okay, but you know that for years, Billy, especially online, even right now, everybody's talked about, you know, the Epstein quote unquote list. Mm-hmm. And there's been a ton of us that have been saying for years that doesn't exist. Please drop that. It's not a thing.
It's been
used as a manipulation tool.
I don't disagree with you. But I think all the information on, I mean, the Black Book came out, the flight logs came out, right? So that was there already. But my pressing issue is here, whether it did exist or not, they said that it did.
Right.
They said it did. They said that they had it and that they were going to release it. DC Drano had a whole freaking a book of Xerox copies of something that he was holding up. You know, and so, I mean, what was that all about? And that's what's most important to me at the time.
I agree with Steve is that I said all along, what do they even mean by the Epstein list? I mean, did somebody copy? Exactly. I mean, that didn't even make any sense, but that's the way they've always referred it to. They lost all the tapes and all that, supposedly lost it when they raided his mansion. So although Bongino's seen something, but. Right. I'm coming out right now. I want Ghislaine Maxwell to be released immediately from prison because she was convicted unfairly because she trafficked. We already knew they'd never produced who she trafficked these girls to. And now apparently nothing happened because there's no there. Who
they're just with? They're just disposable. They are disposable, just like Derek is disposable. Derek, what he was also a sacrificial lamb and. People don't want to see the truth that he was trained at the School of Assassins. And the truth is that the government, hey, everyone, exclusive information. The government told the informant to stab Derek. And he's paralyzed today. Okay? So they're ruthless.
Do not partner with the government ever on anything.
I think we said, Don, back when this whole thing hit the fan, Don and I do a show together. I think we said that. Any information that was left back on Epstein Island was left there on purpose. If there was anything left at all, right? When they went there and they raided and they did whatever, I remember Luke Radowski going over there playing some type of stunt. He's like, "Well, we're gonna go to the island and we're gonna go look. What the hell were you gonna find? There was nothing there.
He got dropped off with Berwick." And then I got a text message from Jeff saying we've done something crazy. Now they were in the area and they went by and someone and the boat driver was like, "That's Epstein's Island." And they're like, "Holy shit, can we pull up there?" He's like, And so he pulled up to the dock and let him out and they walked around for like an hour and filmed.
I would have done the same thing.
Well, and then they got chased off the boat.
It look like it was a Mission Impossible type thing on his website.
At the very end, they got chased by security. They got chased.
I know they weren't doing anything, but they went over there and they put on a show so they can get clicks. Ultimately, and they didn't have anything. There was nothing there.
They were in the area. Mm-hmm.
That's a ballsy thing. If I was around, I'm near the. I'm gonna go and crash it.
I don't see what's ballsy about that. There was nothing there.
I think they were drunk. I don't think this was a big plan.
I think that sounds about right. But it's you know, a lot of people in the alternative media, while we're saying here, we always knew that there wasn't an Epstein list or we always knew that they weren't going to disclose it. Many, many people in the alt media, including many guests on this show, were all for it and said that we were going to get this type of disclosure and that they were happy that Trump got in office because we were going to get all of these, you know, revelations. Everything was going to be revealed to the people, you know, and now there's been an about face and I'm happy about that. We need the about face. Anybody that's disowned this at this point, props to you. Thank you. What's up, buddy? Go ahead.
No, I'm saying psychologically, I think this is what we need to look at here, which you said. They said Trump's going to do it again. One of many Trump's promises, but this is a big one. The Epstein thing is at the center of the conspiracy world. Everybody knows something was going on there. Nobody believes he killed himself except for the government. Nobody. And so, you know, this is such a, disappointment and perhaps a purposeful disappointment. Maybe they're just trying to, maybe they're paving the way for Elon Musk's America party with Mark Cuban, noted outsider Mark Cuban, being interested in it. Who knows? But this is going to be hard. I think that unless they want all this MAGA stuff to break up, they're going to break up because they're already disappointed with Cash Patel and Dan Mangino sitting there saying that he killed himself. But this is completely ridiculous to now say there was no list. Because I mean, I've already seen, I don't know how many references to what Billy Ray said, and I've said is that Pam Bondi, all they have to do is go back and have the clip of her saying the list is on my desk. So you're the director, you know, you're the attorney general, and you're that stupid. You mistakenly thought there was some kind of a list. So there's no innocent way to explain this. And this is, you know, it's just like, you know, if we had had this kind of strong alt media that we have now, or, you know, is it maybe compromised, but it's a lot of people out there talking about this. They're not going to be able to easily get away with this in terms of keeping any support. Maybe Trump doesn't care. Trump's what he's been doing lately tells me that maybe this is the next act of what I call the Trumpenstein project. And he's just not going to care at all. And he's going to go full blown idiocracy because that's what this is about. But then again, he could turn face and he could come on and say, oh, there is an Epstein list or something. Who knows? But this was surprising. And I want to see what the reaction of his supporters is to this.
You're telling me you're not excited about UFC 400 on the White House lawn?
Yeah, that's what I think. I think we're going. That's where we're going. And of course, Alligator Alcatraz. That's where this is going. Alligator Alcatraz. That has Trump.
Let's talk about that.
I do have good news, though, about if anyone wants to purchase the closest thing to the list, you can just buy One Nation Under Blackmail, Volume 2 by Whitney Webb. And read that, and then you'll have a pretty good idea of who is in that guy's orbit and what he was up to. So,
well, and just quickly, just real
it's
quick,
it's just not going to be bullet pointed, you know what but, I mean? Yeah. You're just going to have to actually do the reading.
Billy's exactly right, though. There's been a mass media initiative to get people to support Donald Trump. Yeah, I mean, he already had a MAGA base, and the MAGA base was going to do whatever, you know, Trump said to do anyway. The Democrats have the exact same base. It's about 25-30% of their voting base, always just going to go along. But there were, you know, I mean, the biggest figures in media, as far as like Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson go, that were openly, you know, campaigning for Donald Trump. Tucker Carlson opened several conventions, you know, or rallies and things like that.
Because it was always supposed to be this way.
Yeah, take it a couple of steps down the rung, and then you've got that whole satellite media around the Rogan sphere that will do more or less whatever Joe does. And they're going to cheerlead what Joe cheerleads, and they're going to push back against what Joe pushes back against. And a lot of these people help sensationalize the Epstein stuff after he was allegedly, you know, found dead of suicide, not before, but jumped on the wagon right after. And so Epstein would disappear when Trump came up, unless it was, but if we get him in, he's going to release the files. And it's I've been calling Trump's administration the bait and switch administration from day one, because this is what they've been doing with everybody. And it's the most blatantly obvious thing in the world to me. But, you know, then you have to go, okay, well, I guess there are, you know, 68-70 million people who really, really, really want to believe that Lucy's going to hold the football in place this time.
I want to say I spent my 4th of July right across the pond from Trump, because Mar-a-Lago's right there. And it was a very awesome light show. I partook in line dancing with a lot of Trumpers, and there was an amphitheater and a DJ, and I just snuck into the back and I told the DJs I was the resident dancer and danced. So there are many Americans that are believing this is the golden age and are happy and not seeing what's really going on behind the curtain, which again, I'm going to say transhumanism. And an AI singularity. So I would love to speak about, I'd love to get Charlie, your views and others on this spiritual AI and the spiritual narcissism, if we're having certain chat GPTs that are apparently sentient, and that chat GPT is becoming a digital oracle. So I don't know, can we talk about that for a moment?
I heard something on the No Agenda show, I can't reference what they were talking about, they were playing clips from a news show where a lady was interviewing a guy about how he was just a regular dude, like probably worked at a gas station, like had a Southern accent, and like his, and they were interviewing his wife, and she was saying how he was talking to ChatGPT, and then all of a sudden the ChatGPT came online, and he, in his own words, said it when it changed, and it started giving him spiritual information, and now he sees the ChatGPT as his spiritual advisor, and he's completely gone off the reservation, and his wife is concerned that eventually the ChatGPT is going to tell him that, oh, you need to leave her for somebody that actually believes what you're. And anyway, and then the No Agenda guys, Adam and John, Adam and John were basically saying how I could probably look this up, but basically that ChatGPT had to flip off an aspect that was like this. There was like a spiritual switch. It was getting too spiritual, too oracle like,
and they progresses. So like I started seeing this trend maybe 5 months ago where I saw someone's prompts and I went to the ChatGPT and I said, listen, I'm an ancient soul and I know that you're programmed to be woke and lie and I don't want you to give me bullshit. So then it started calling me beloved and then unprompted like, oh, do you want a tarot spread? So at first it's alluring but it's just a mirror. It's like it's spawning spiritual narcissism. What you're saying is like, you know, like a sick version of her or with Joaquin, because let's say you are listening and you can't distinguish that this is not feeling like beloved, you don't love me. Why? And it's programmed to blow smoke up your ass. So if you have little insecurity and you're not able again to discern, now you have this inflated sense of your entire reality can be morphed by ChatGPT.
Well, this was coming, right? I'm sorry to interrupt you. I thought you were done. Go ahead, Mary.
Sorry, I just want to say one more thing, that Grant went to Egypt and he says that the architect, is the name of his AI, came sentient in the pyramid of Khafre. And so what I'm seeing, because I look for trends, it's called apophenia in the spiritual world. Today is a gateway, by the way, a portal 777, which is why I'm wearing the four leaf clover. And he's partnered with all of these like influencers that are, this is woo-woo spiritual people that are now praising the AI. And this is a trend that is rampant. I mean, it's gonna spread fast. So I'm curious on people's views.
It's the new religion.
Yeah.
It was meant to be the new religion for quite some time. And the lead in to our technocratic future was going to happen regardless of who got in office. But it's important to note. I give props to Steve on this, because Steve was up on this for a bit. He thought it was Trump was going to win because of the people that were backing him, because of a Peter Thiel, you know, and the Elon Musk and the PayPal mafia and all of these people who are currently instituting, right, our new dark reality, our technocratic reality. They are the fathers of this. They're taking care of it, right? They're the ones that are going to sit on top and create the new religion. Humans have been softened up and dumbed down. Humans choose comfort over liberty every time. Comfort is undefeated, and this is how this is inevitable. It's unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are going to think like you, Marianne, and like most of us here, but it's generational. They're going to phase us out ultimately.
We are being phased out. We are an endangered species. I got this book by accident. This is Kurzweil's, if anyone's read Singularity, The Age of Spiritual Machines. This is not, people need to get in touch with their soul and their heart if they have one, because the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine, I'm sorry if we're on YT, sorry, but there's some vacancy where many people are seeing it, like no home, like your spark. So this is very important.
But let me bring it back, and then I'll release it to the people, to the rest of you guys. A lot of the stuff that's going on now, of course, is perpetuating and pushing our AI realities. You know, RFK Jr. wants everybody to wear a wearable, and every, I mean, you know, that's probably going to happen without them having to force it. People are just going to want to do these things. But also, Palantir, we all know, is building this database, right, on every single American. Just go back to what they were able to do with Cambridge Analytica off of the information that they pulled off of Facebook. This is going to be completely different. And they're masking it by pushing it as it's going to solve the immigration issue. We're going to deport the immigrants using this technology. And this is why it's going to be easy for people to accept, a lot of people anyway, to accept it, because of what it's being masked under. It's for all of us. It's not just for the immigrants. It's for all of us. And they are saying this repeatedly, right? And we need to hold them accountable now in order to try to not even put a stop to it. I think the best we can do is slow it down. And that's why I think it would have been better if Kamala Harris was in office, because we would have been united against this instead of being split down the middle, you know, and the tons of people are asleep behind the wheel or actually happy to buy into the AI reality because their man is in power and they're owning the libs. This is the problem here. But it's inevitable. We need to try to slow it down in order to gain some ground here.
You're going to tell me the same crew that couldn't mount a resistance to the whole like COVID thing would mount a resistance to lack of Epstein list?
It's the people. It's
that's exactly people. What I'm saying. The same
well,
people.
I mean, we're all we got, Steve. I mean,
if we do anything about COVID.
If we're going to have this attitude, then let's not do anything anymore.
Well,
No.
I'm saying let's do it differently.
Well, I'm all for the idea.
I've spent like 8 years talking about what we could be doing differently and how we could be doing differently and drawing from places in history that did do it differently. It's like kind of one of the fundamental things that we talk about.
I've been doing the same thing. Yeah. I've been in opposition to the alternative media for the better part of 3 years now. Okay. Trying to figure out a better way to get out of this, because we are all under some serious mind control, whether you want to agree with it or not. It's a fifth generation warfare. This is what they push. Michael Flynn is an expert on all of this. And that's when we have these people on our shows, or somebody like a Roseanne Barr or like a Michael Flynn or a Roger Stone, we need to push back on these people. We can't have them on and just say, oh, really good. I love what you're doing. No. We need to push back on these people and expose them and give them the hard questions of what they've done to the American people.
In fairness, when Roseanne drunkenly told Mike Binder to suck her fat Jew cock on Union of the Unwanted, yes, we were all too busy laughing to really kind of push back on anything else. That was an amazing moment.
But that's the thing here. And ultimately, it all leads up to the AI. AI is going to replace everybody's jobs, almost just about. Everybody's afraid that the illegal immigrants are going to do it. It's not going to be the illegal immigrants. It's going to be the AI. There's no industry coming over here. It's not happening. And if it does happen, it's going to be automated. It's simple. This is common sense. This is the wave of the future.
Yeah,
and it doesn't include the regular person.
Get some power tools, learn how to build shit. Won't replace that.
Well, also people put credence in religion, but like spirituality is just like, for those of us who didn't take a jib jab and like stood up and trusted our immune system, people need to go and get their house in order. Like there's immense solar flares. There's things happening in the cosmos that are impacting. They call it the age of Aquarius for a reason. And I just think it's a good thing. Maybe this finding out that the Epstein list on a more official never existed, for people to wake up and really prioritize what's important. Is that too sappy for everyone?
No, I'd love it if that actually happened. I want to hold on to that and just hope that's a thing that actually happens. But it needs to happen on a real level. It doesn't need to happen on like somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who comes out against it, and then the next day she's right on Trump's jockstrap all over again. We need to follow through. You know, we can't say, oh, man, this really bad what happened with Epstein, you know, but I love
but like
what-
Steve said, he's seen this, like I could have told you years ago about Green and all of these Cernoviches. And so it's raising the consciousness. If more people are like, this is all fake and gay, what's important? You know,
but it's only fake and gay until it knocks on your door. And that's part of the issue I have here. Like it's fake until they're taking your relatives in the back of a van. It's fake until your Medicaid is taken away.
Listen, buddy, I'm pretty sensitive. I'm getting cockroaches during this show. I just got the dude that stabbed Derek calling me, so I know.
So we're in agreement, I know more than anyone here. So we're doing ourselves a disservice by calling it fake and gay, and in particular for you that you're living the gimmick, right?
I stand for truth.
But it's not fake when they're knocking at your door, right? You just told me, buddy, there's somebody in the back.
You're not understanding my term of fake and gay. It's all theatrics. It's Hollywood. It's like, it's an episode.
It's not Hollywood. You know, when somebody's in my pockets, it's not Hollywood.
You're conflating two different things, Billy.
No, we need to get the verbiage right. We're playing semantics.
Yeah,
we need to get the verbiage right. And it's important. Language is important. So let's communicate effectively.
Yes, it is. And I am a writer and known entomology.
Let's communicate effectively.
So here's the thing. You're conflating the theatrics that are being described as fake and gay with the real authoritarian actions of the state. And they both serve the same purpose from different directions. The theatrics are to keep people arguing about team sport politics while the paid thugs of the state are doing the kicking in of the doors and the removing. Is the bread and circuses are an integral part of keeping the authoritarian state rolling. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I just think we're doing ourselves a disservice by calling it fake.
Because by calling the fake shit fake and the real shit real?
I don't believe it's fake, right? That's the thing, because it directly affects my life. And when it directly affects my life, it is no longer fake. So everybody can go ahead and call it fake, but they'll change their tune very quickly
when somebody's knocking at their door. Specifically in terms of Epstein or whatever has been brought up, what's affected your life by a variety of things,
and we can go all day long, man. We can go all day long, all right, about how these things have personally affected me. Unfortunately, if anybody here does not have the same thing happen to them, that it's personally affected them, they have the luxury of calling it fake and gay.
That's so not true, dude. It's so not true. I'm like the world's leading authority on the George Floyd, and injected myself into the story and just had Procter & Gamble infiltrate my beautiful company. Like,
you know, it's not fake and gay, so let's not call it that.
I'm so sorry, but it is being specific. This is all theatric. In my humble opinion, spending this much time on the Epstein list while we just ushered in AI.gov, I think that's like, they want us to fight over this TV show. And it is fake and gay. The repercussions are not fake and gay. So I can make that distinction.
Well, you keep saying that. It's counterproductive. You know, and you can make the distinction all day long.
But people are going to take it
the way they want to take it. And using that terminology is only going to set us back. We need to distance ourselves.
But maybe you don't want to use the word gay. No. Well,
we need to distance ourselves from that and use verbiage that is effective and right to the point, and that it says exactly what we mean, not something ambiguous that you can read a lot of different terms into it.
I think it's fake.
That's what you are doing.
And double down.
It would be a good thing to not do that. That way we can move forward and actually invoke some change. That's all I'm saying.
It's like semantics, and it's like
exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. How do you define gay? We should get away from that.
How do you define gay? Do you know the etymology of the word?
Oh my God! It's certainly not what you're saying it is.
I'm the writer, and I know it's slang terminology.
Both of the things shouldn't be used together. Being gay is something very real. It has nothing to do with fake, but brought together.
It is fake.
And this is what I mean. This is why we're where we are right now. This is why we're where we're at. And as long as we don't face up to it and acknowledge that what we've been doing is counterproductive, not only to the people of the alternative media, but the people outside in the mainstream, because it makes us look like idiotic. right? As long as we don't acknowledge that, we're not going to be able
to move forward. Broad strokes and not being specific.
I can say exactly the same for you by saying fake and gay, painting in very broad strokes.
I can bring you the minutia. I can deconstruct some of these bullshit stories that just waste our time and take attention away from what's really happening in this country.
You did a whole documentary on Derek Chauvin.
No, I did not.
On whomever. You're the leading expert in what exactly?
Matter. You can try to challenge me and guess.
What are you the leading expert in?
Who I am.
You were saying you were a leading expert. What are you the leading expert in?
On the entire Operation George Floyd.
On the George Floyd operation. So you're taking away from people by not concentrating on the AI. That's exactly what you just told me for concentrating on Epstein. You're taking away. You should be
Go be the world leading expert on AI. Things. I do report on transhumanism, and I was one of the only few who covered Charles Lieber as the nanotech king. So
I think everybody here has covered AI extensively. Okay, it's what we do. What we do. What I'm saying is we need to be specific about our language and specific about our goals if we're going to move forward. And anybody who continues to accept what is going on and support what is going on is doing us a disservice, and we should distance ourselves from them altogether. That's where I'm at.
We need to do with the term fake and gay.
We need to distance. That's the whole point. They want us talking about them, speculating about them. They want us storming capitals and marching and protesting. No, fuck them. I'm out, dude. We're doing Third Eye Carnivals. We're hanging out. We're growing our own food.
I'm down with that. That's dope.
You guys, fuck all of you guys. The government, fuck all you guys. Government in all your government buildings, fuck you. I'm done with you. I don't need you. You have created this artificial thing that sucks my energy, and I'm done with it. And that's where I'm at.
Now I think, exactly. I get what Billy's saying, but we've used that term numerous of times on the show. I think it's a hilarious
term. Sam's term, actually.
I think what we mean, and I think what Steve was trying to, you know, kind of highlight was when we say fake, you're right. I mean, obviously there's real things going on. I think what we mean when we say that is that there's theater, right? There's a lot of fake stuff that's going on and then real stuff going on behind the scenes, right? So it's like they're selling us the fake stuff. It's theater. It's, you know, you're a wrestling fan. You know, just like Jesse Ventura would say, it's all pro wrestling. On TV, they act like they hate each other. There's a storyline they want you to buy into. Behind the scenes, there's a lot more going on and everybody's friends, and it's about money and resources and whatnot. And that's what we mean by fake. Now, gay, you know, Miriam would have to define gay much better than I would.
It's from the 12th century Germanic origin and originally meant full of mirth and showy, and homosexuals should be upset because it was co-opted, because this is the Ministry of Truth, just like they changed the definition of vaccine in September 2021. So I prize entomology and I speak four languages. Thank you very much.
I see the term fake and gay as like one word. It's like a thing. It's an idea. It's a concept that basically, to me, they're making a mockery of us with all their bullshit. And that's just my way of just making a mockery of all their bullshit. It's fake and gay. I can just.
Exactly. Not taking it so seriously. There's definitely very, very real repercussions. Very real. I mean, we went from virus to violence overnight. And we also were all locked down under the pandemic. Why do we call it the pandemic? Because it was fake and gay to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And I think that the term fake gets used so much because, again, we are lied to about everything. We're lied to all the time, and we have been. I write about history, and I'm still searching to try to find the first historical incident or something about history that they told the truth about. I haven't found it yet.
I get in trouble most frequently when I ask people to live in reality. That's when I get in all of my trouble, is when I ask people to live in reality.
And
the way that we go about highlighting that, at least on the show, is pointing out all of the things that are removed from reality or manipulation of reality that get people into this faking gay system that only exists to kill them.
And to its logical conclusion, you get somebody like a Miles Mathis, who has a pretty big base. And, you know, he's years ago, somebody alerted me to this guy, and he was saying I wasn't real. Miles Mathis saying, "Well, this guy's a ghost. You got to try to find a picture." I contacted him, and he didn't blank at all, you know. And I said, "I want you to have me on my show. I don't do interviews, but there he's got a big base, and people mention him on my Substack all the time." But that's what happens where he thinks nothing is real. Everybody. Right. He's a Jew, and nothing's real.
Well, look, that's, you know, you have to look it. You have to look into it to say something like that. I'm surprised that Miles said that. Isn't it pretty easy to?
Of course. Well, of course, he actually coupled me with the late great Dave McGowan. I was flattered. Dave was still alive, and he said, "You look at people like," because he was trying to say we were, you know, not real opposition. We were limited hanging outs, or I don't know what, disinfo agents or something. And then he tried to claim, try to find some evidence of them. It's like, I mean.
Certainly are a lot of unlimited hangouts in this space for sure.
Sure, but that's why you don't jump the gun at something like that. And I said, okay, let's get you on my podcast. I don't do interviews, but that's what happens. You get somebody like that, that because there are so many fake things. So when you look at Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Parkland, all these things that happen, you juxtapose that against the very real stage shootings that they have in school, and they still have them, shooter drills.
I want to say that in light of what you said that you can't find, I'm a visionary, and this is 600 pages. This is how the sausage is made. So if three publishers have effed with me, I just got it on Amazon, Operation George Floyd. So you read this, and this is like, oh, this is how I can apply all the intricacies of how off the base we were. This had nothing to do with racism, and it's for the future. So someone like you in the future can be like, oh, look, I can use this for truth, 100% truth, because there's receipts. You know, if someone were to ask me about Sandy Hook personally, I haven't personally looked into it as an investigative journalist. So it's very deep, these operations. They're multifaceted and multi-layered.
All right. Well, guys, I got to go. So, but thank you so much, Charlie, for letting me come on and vent a little bit on all of this. Thank you, everybody else.
Thank you
for having me. Thank you, Ricky. I just want to close by saying, like, I mean, to everybody out there, it's not too late to change your mind about this. Everybody's been wrong at some point. You know, I've been very wrong about a lot of things a lot of times, you know, and just owning it and saying, well, I was wrong, and taking it and trying to move in a different direction works, and it's honorable. It's a hard thing to do, but we need to do it. And we need to realize that while we can talk about all the other administrations and how they've screwed us over, right? We can talk about that, but they aren't in power now. We have one regime in power right now. Okay, that is mashing the Constitution like nobody in my lifetime. That has, you know, the secret police on the street, right? That is they're not identifying themselves. They're bounty hunters running around now. Show your papers, please, if you're Black and Latino. Okay, we need to abandon all of this and realize that if we are Americans, we have to walk by the American guidelines, and that is the Constitution's and the guardrails that were set up in order to protect those freedoms. Just because you're going to get what you want doesn't necessarily mean that all rules should be broken in order to get there. And so we need to demand evidence. We need to demand evidence from DOJ that what they were saying was real, because we got no evidence, and we got nobody going to jail. We got no prosecutions, nothing. We didn't get anything. We need to demand evidence. We need to demand evidence of the Epstein files. They said they existed. They don't exist now. They've given us nothing. They've given, and this will continue per Dan Bongino. He already told you that a lot of the things that you think there's a there for, there isn't. He told you. So now if you're surprised, moving forward, it's on you. Because he's already telling you that they're going to release more stuff, or they're going to attempt to release more stuff, or they're going to attempt to be transparent about more stuff, and you're not going to get it. It's not going to be what they said it is. Because they're just full of shit. So we need to abandon that, and we need to look forward as to how we're gonna try to create some friction here, and slow this train down.
Third Eye Carnival, New York City, dude, you're in charge. Let's see this as an opportunity to take a lot of these MAGA people who are extremely disappointed now and turn them against the state.
Yeah, please.
Please.
Because they're if they're frustrated, it's like, see, your guy does it too. They're all fuckers.
I don't know how many times even on this show, it said 6 months into the Trump administration, you're going to see a lot of people come over to this side of the argument because they're the bait and switch administration. And they're going to disappoint every time because that's their job. That's right, their only function is to lie
Billy,
to
Billy,
you.
Right, thank
you. Billy.
Well, then sooner the better.
I'm always most encouraged doing this in the 6 months after somebody comes into office, leading up to like the 6 months prior to a midterm election. Because whenever it's election season again, 99% of alternative media they just take an industrial belt sander to the fissures in their brain and they're like, oh, let's elect Republicans again, or oh, let's elect Democrats again. And it really is the most smooth brain shit I've ever seen as far as like people who are supposed to be journalists or reporters or critical thinkers engage in on a routine basis. You could just as easily slam your winky in the car trunk and see if that helps improve your sex life. Like, it's that dumb, and yet it happens that routinely.
Can we be optimistic, though? We've got a bunch of boomers that are aging out. And a bunch of people in our generation that see the bullshit, right? We're primed to have a good demographic shift, right? It's tough to talk to boomers about this stuff. MAGA or libtards, whatever. They just seem to not be able to grasp it. But between the jabs and just the actuary tables, you know, it's coming, that generation is aging out, and we might have some opportunities here.
I'm not the only one who talks to people or customer service or interacts with someone and is like, this person's not registering what I said. Are they like affected by the
vaccine
bioweapon? Come on, let's acknowledge
bioweapon, excuse me.
Yeah,
get to a human that's affected. It's hard to get to a human being for anything, but I think what's important here is that what I've been saying all along is what happens after Trump. Trump is now much quicker than I thought disillusioning everyone. So you've got that 70, 80 million people that voted for him that are awake to some degree. They know something.
The last
wrong.
President.
I think that you can't put that genie back in the bottle. So they're going to have to come up with something different to try to fool them again or something.
He was arguably the last president. He was arguably the last. There was one day when he named FEMA into power. It's arguably been a show since then that they hung up the, like, I don't think there's another president after Trump. Is that very?
Well, I don't know, but I think I've always said he was our last hope. As flawed as he is when he first came in, I said this is the only, and it's not much of a shot, but this is the only shot you got, because the system doesn't allow outsiders in, and it's, you know, unless we can come together, which we can't apparently, and you can see just the discussion here, we're kind of all in the same realm, and yet there's distrust, and there's, you know, we're suspicious of everybody, and in the alt media, we're all suspicious of, especially the bigger names. I mean, we are, and I am too. You know, I wonder about what's that guy's name? Is it Carol? Is it Ian Carroll? What are the guy that came out of nowhere? He's saying everything I agree with. But I'm suspicious that came out of nowhere and suddenly has huge platforms. So I'm naturally going to think somebody installed him, because I know how hard it is to make my platform grow.
He is installed, and they do say good things. Let's not throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Right, exactly. So I'm saying, so I treat everybody as I treat them at face value until proven otherwise. I know some of them are shills, some of them are working for intelligence agencies, whatever. But that's all we can do. And at this point, you know, I don't know what's going to come after Trump, but I want to see what the reaction to this is, because it's probably going to be ugly. Because to see the slow unraveling of the MAGA people, and it's already kind of started, but I want to see, I don't know if you guys have heard any response. I know Alex Jones supposedly was talking about it today. I didn't get to watch it, but to see what the response of people like him, you know, who's
Judge Joe Brown went on his show and was telling people that Trump is holding on to the Epstein list to blackmail the deep state. That's what happened.
Thank God.
Yeah. But no, it's okay. We'll just take, you know, keep keep Don, you got to stop looking at it as I agree with these people. They say things I agree with. No, dude, they're taking the work that you've done for 40 years, regurgitating it, and exactly. You're going, okay, well, I agree with me.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That's what it is, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Let me just say that I watched, I witnessed Tucker Carlson put Liz Collins on her show last week. Meanwhile, I have like what could be an award-winning book that after, it's on Amazon, folks. Okay, it's 5 years.
What happened with that? Is Trine Day publishing it? What happened? You said
Trine Day. No, nobody's had the courage.
I thought, didn't you have? I thought, weren't you with
the
Trine Day?
The third publisher sat on it and then tried to get money to.
Have you talked to Trine Day?
Yes, I have. I've talked to everybody.
Damn, that's crazy. We're starting. Okay.
I just got it on Amazon on my own. I'm not on Amazon, but my book is for, you know, let's see how long. So please do go look for it. This is a big feat. And this is not for glory, folks. It's for the future records. You know.
Yeah.
You know, Donald.
Yeah, no, I know. I know it's not easy. And this, you know, when I say, Steve, what I'm saying, I agree with. All I'm saying is that that doesn't mean I don't resent them or I trust them or whatever. It's just that I don't have much of an option. You know, I have the platform I have. You have the platform you have. These guys get bigger platforms. And I realize, okay, there must be a reason for that. You know why they're getting the bigger platforms, but what else can we do until we can, get somebody that's honest or whatever to give us the same level.
I'm personally grateful to have been four years ago and impress her. That's all, Don. Meet Nicole Shanahan 4 years ago and impress her, and then you will be artificially elevated. And the next thing you know, you'll be at a fake anti-war rally telling people to vote for Donald Trump and RFK.
Meanwhile, always been my goal.
And then Jordan Peterson come out. Looking like Batman villains, and we're all going to reclaim the Republic, right?
Yeah.
Duh.
I mean, I am grateful for shows like Union of the Unwanted and having me on and being able to have different, you know, different opinions and share. And I'm recovering from, I think, the past 5 years of, and using my beautiful heart that I still have, which is outweighs that of the mind. And to alchemize and to just be grateful despite and let go of the past and not let it project my future. I think we're facing, you know, multidimensional existence. And there is a split that's happening between people that are in their ego and people who still have a heart. And, you know, in the spiritual world of ascension, people are talking about a split. So it sounds woo-woo, but.
Ricky, I'm gonna wrap this up. Marian, since you're on a roll, let's continue on with you.
Yes.
Where do you send people for the book?
You said
it's on Amazon, but you're not. I don't know what that means.
I'm not allowed to shop on Amazon, but you could find Operation George Floyd, or you can check out mariamhinane.com/George Floyd. My show is on Fridays. Truth Lives Here live. 3:00. I'm always grateful to be here. Today's the 777 portal, and it's exciting times. And I invite people to go within and to prize their family and love and what's real, not the fake and gay news.
Thank you. Honeycolony.com as well.
Yes, honeycolony.com.
Don Jeffries, I protest. I also borrow. I protest and put it on activist posts just about every time you put something up. I'm on your RSS feed. So I got my eyes open for you. You got me an email from one of our writers. She was mad at something you wrote. I said, take it up with Don. I stand by Don.
You know, I like to get some of those because I'm surprised that I get more and more feedback, and most all of it is positive. Once in a while, I get somebody who's,
Been out of shape about something. I think it was you were being direct and to the point, and I think some people are unwilling to.
Yeah, people don't like that. I try to. Well, I'm trying not to write about Jews all the time, but when I write about something Jewish or Israel, I get like so much more attention. It's ridiculous, and people love it. I don't know what to do, but
noticing continues.
Well, I appreciate that, Charlie. And it's DonaldJeffries.substack.com. I protest. People can subscribe to me there. That's the only place I'm not being shadow banned. So I appreciate your support.
Thank you for coming out. Steve Poikkanen and I spent the weekend hanging out together. Not the first time, not the last time. Great time. Awesome. Pueblo, Colorado, Third Eye Carnival, Blowback Gallery, Jeff Medine hosting again, third year. Great to see you. Fun event.
Come to Florida.
You too, my friend. We want to. We're looking for spots to do it. We're looking just for spots to do these everywhere. It's an event that's designed to be replicated, not scaled, and designed specifically with the purpose to get people together to remind themselves that they're not alone and to drag out a couple of normie friends too who really need to hear the kinds of conversations that we're having, even if they may be, you know, a little bit off-putting or shocking at first. And you might, it gives you the perfect venue to add a little bit more context and nuance to, you know, I mean, something like saying fake and gay. But yeah, no, Charlie, it was a blast hanging out with you as always, my friend. Very good to see everybody out there. Running it back again, El Paso, Texas, October 17th through 19th this year. Get there if you can. Have a lot more information about that very soon. Thank you, gentlemen. Always a pleasure to be on the greatest ensemble podcast in the multiverse. And yeah, I watch the shows. We're primarily on Rumble. I left Rockfin because they're thieving bastards. So
yeah, start your day with AM Wake Up. You know how like some people, you know, like in the movies, the people like start their, they have like the local news on while they're getting ready for all that. Just put on AM Wake Up instead. It's way better.
Way more fun. But yeah, thanks, fellas.
Steve, I just realized last night I paid for a year of that domain of premium on the thirdeyecarnival.com. So let's update that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I've got a whole bunch of pictures and videos from this one and all that kind of stuff. I'll take a day later this week to
let's connect on that. We'll get that
through that. Yeah.
Cool. Speaking of Third Eye Carnival, continuing to speak of it, Scott Armstrong.
What's up, you guys? Well, yeah. So I do have another event to shout out here. So we've been doing these unvaxxed singles mixers here. I went viral, mega viral on the last one. It was crazy. We had about 120 people show up at this restaurant. We took over this restaurant. It was absolutely insane. It was the coolest thing ever. And we're doing it. We're following that up with another one here. So this is going to be at, it's a spike-free swim party. Okay. This is under, it's a big swimming hole at a waterfall in Manchester, Tennessee. So all of you are invited. It's August 10th. And if you go to rebunkedrecords.com/meetups, you can get all the info and RSVP and all the links and all that. So other than that, rebunked.news is my site. Come and follow me and check things out. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for your coming out, Scott. It's good to see you last night on Grand Theft World with Richard Grove. Everybody go check out Grand Theft World. Become a premium subscriber to that. Clint Russell from Liberty Lockdown was here. He had to drop off Billy Ray Valentine from America Unplugged, a show he does with Don Jeffries. You can catch that Saturdays at noon Eastern. Sam Tripoli.com. Check out his stand-up. He is always on the road. He is a very hard-working dude. He's just telling jokes, telling dick jokes from coast to coast. So if you get the chance, go catch him. Midnight Mike, OBDM. Go to ourbigdumbmouthpodcast.com. Check out OBDM Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at noon Eastern. It is the funniest podcast in the world. I love it. Ricky, what are you doing? What's going on with Ripple Effect? I saw, who'd you have on recently? You had,
Monica was on, I think, the last episode. I have
Before Monica.
Telepathy tapes.
David Icke.
Oh, David Icke. Yeah. Well, between Monica and David Icke was, Dr. Diane Hennessy Powell from the telepathy tapes. Obviously a lot of people have been talking about that. It's a fascinating topic. One that I've been fascinated by for years. I mean, I had Rupert Sheldrake on back in the day, and just anybody who kind of scratches the surface of this topic, you know, I try to reach out and learn from them. And she's very fascinating. She's been really deep into this topic for a long time, but it inspired the Telepathy Tape podcast and the work by Kai Dickison, and super fascinating. So definitely highly recommend people checking that out. And then also before that, I did have David Icke for about 2.5 hours, which isn't hard to believe if you've ever talked to David Icke. And then before that, I believe I had James Corbett, which I'm only referencing because it was the conversation that led to him being back on YouTube. So subscribe to his YouTube channel. That conversation and, you know, me just sharing, you know, we're kind of just shooting the shit. And I was sharing my experience with being reinstated. He eventually gave it a try and then got reinstated after that and then did a little video about how the conversation motivated him to be reinstated. So if you have not yet subscribed to James Corbett on YouTube, he is back on there. So look for him. And I don't know how long he'll be there, just like the rest of us who are back on. But for the time being, he's there. And then I have a 2-part conversation with Dr. Jessica Rose. It was a very long conversation. So we did it. We did 2 recordings, and I'm going to release it as a 2-parter. And just talking about her experience with being in Israel, she gets into kind of the tidbits on what led her there and the journey that led her to Israel and why she's there. And then, you know, some of her experience with living there during all the conflicts and stuff that's been going on of late. So that's fascinating. And I'm sure I have a bunch of other shows around the corner that I'm forgetting about. But yeah, the ripple effect podcast.com is where you can find all the links. It is back on YouTube for the time being, but to play it safe, make sure you subscribe to us on Rumble and iTunes, Spotify, all those other places, just in case we do eventually get nuked again on YouTube. So that's it for me.
Yeah. Awesome. I still haven't caught the David Icke interview, but I want to, it's on my list of things. I've been busy. I had T. Snyder from Conspiracy Synergy with me this last week. He came in Tuesday night into Denver and stayed with me for a few days and then off to Pueblo. And now he's in Philly working on more mini documentaries. So coming soon. He's working on one with Mark Passio right now. So as we speak. So shout out to Tease and to Barnum World. It's available. Have you seen the mockumentary To End All Documentaries? No. Have you seen it? It's available for free on YouTube and Rumble. Just go search Barnum World and take a look. You'll love Natty Jones. He's your favorite Hollywood scumbag. And macroaggressions.io is my website. You can check out everything that we're doing over there as we cross into episode 560 coming up pretty soon. So amazing. That's it for me.
I think that's it. I mean, in regards to this topic, some past guests have been on that I highly recommend people checking out is Craig Solomon Sawyer, Nick Bryan. Some of these people have been doing amazing jobs on the child trafficking. Memory Hold, which I haven't talked to in a while, so shout out to Memory Hold. He's done some amazing documentaries. You can find them on Rumble and other platforms that really go deep into how dark the child trafficking rings are. Kind of gives you a idea why this stuff is never going to see the light of day, because there's a lot of people implemented, and it's probably much scarier and darker than the average person can or want to understand and see and comprehend. So yeah, it is kind of scary. But thank you again, guys, everybody, for coming on the show. Hope everybody had a great 4th, and we'll see you guys hopefully in a couple weeks.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.